Amen. If you'll turn with me in your Bibles, I know your bulletin says the Gospel of Mark, but instead this morning we're going to be in the Gospel of Luke. So turn with me to Luke chapter 5. I encourage you to read Mark 1 and Isaiah 40, but this morning we'll be in the Gospel of Luke instead. Chapter 5, verse 1. Once you find it, if you'll stand with me in honor of God's holy word. Luke chapter 5, verse 1. Luke 5, verse 1, the Lord tells us, "Once while Jesus was standing beside the lake of Gennesaret, and the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, he saw two boats there at the shore of the lake. The fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little way from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the crowds from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, 'Put out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch.' Simon answered, 'Master, we have worked all night long, but have caught nothing. Yet if you say so, I will let down the nets.' When they had done this, they caught so many fish that their nets were beginning to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats, so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, 'Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man.' For he and all who were with him were amazed at the catch of fish that they had taken. And so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. Then Jesus said to Simon, 'Do not be afraid. From now on you will be catching people.' When they had brought their boats to shore, they left everything and followed him." Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word, that it's sharper than a two-edged sword, Lord. Help it to cut us asunder, that we may more fully trust you and love you with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength, Lord. And to love our neighbors as ourselves. And may we grow in holiness as we prepare the way for you, Lord, down here below. Give me the words as I preach this morning, Lord, and give us all hearts and minds open to your word. By the power of your Holy Spirit, Lord, we thank you. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. You be seated. We come here to the Gospel of Luke. And in verse 1, as we just read, it says, "Once while Jesus was standing beside the lake of Gennesaret, he was standing by this lake," it says, "and the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God." What a glorious thing. This crowd was pressing in on Jesus to hear the word of God. Well, that's what we ought to be doing. We ought to be pressing in on the Lord to hear the word of God, to hear what God's trying to tell us every day. He's got a word for us today. He's got a word for us tomorrow. He's got a word for us every day. If we'll get down, get on our knees, listen, get in the Word of God and see what God's trying to tell us. It's a letter to us, a letter of love, a letter of truth to show us the ways of God, to show us how to prepare, as we read in the readings during the Advent wreath. It was prophesied in Isaiah chapter 40, and John the Baptist spoke it again in the Gospels, "Prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight." Back then they prepared the way of the Lord, John the Baptist did, but we too should be preparing the way of the Lord with holiness and righteousness all the days long, right here in this second coming, as we await it, as we look forward to it, but as we live down here below. This crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God. But if you notice here, so many times in Jesus' ministry, you'd have a crowd pressing in on him, a crowd coming in on him. But how many of that crowd was there on the cross? None of them. There was one disciple present when Jesus was crucified. That was the Apostle John. The others were hiding. The others were elsewhere. These crowds were gone. When it got hard saying, so often it says they turned and followed him again. No more. When it got a little hard, they didn't want to listen to what God had to say. When it was a little pressing in on them, pressing in on their lives, cutting them asunder, they turned away and said, "We don't want that, Lord. We just want the miracles. We need to hear the whole counsel of God. We need to hear the whole word of God and listen to it and read it." This crowd was pressing on him to hear the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God for that word. Verse 2, he says, "He saw two boats there at the shore of the lake. The fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets." had gone out, it says there in verse 3, he got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and he asked them to put out a little way from the shore. They'd just come back and they was washing their nets off. If you notice, as we just read in the passage, they'd caught nothing. Not a doggone thing out there fishing. They're doing it their way. We could be trying to throw our nets, catch our ways, do our things down here below our own way, but it'll never pay off. It'll never work. Only the Word of God shows forth. They was washing their nets. They'd give up. Verse 3, he got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon Peter, and asked him to put out a little way from the shore. Notice here, Jesus asked him. He didn't walk in there and hit him and say, you better do this. He asked him. That's what God does in our lives. He asked us first. I love how in Revelation 3 it shows Jesus on the outside of the door knocking. Knocking, the door will be opened, he says. He's knocking on the outside of the church of Laodicea, wanting to come, and he's knocking on the hearts of some that profess Christ, wanting in their hearts to use it, to be used for glory, to show them the way, to show forth in the fruits of the Holy Spirit. He's knocking on everybody's heart as we talk about grace upon grace. God sends that prevenient grace, they call it. Grace to every person that can call upon the name of the Lord. And he gives us justifying grace when he saves us, when we submit to him, that we may be sealed by the Holy Spirit and used by him. Then he gives us that sanctifying grace. That's what we need to be doing. Going on to salvation, drawing closer to him, being willing vessels, willing to be used by God, willing to submit to the Word of God and to his ways. He says here, he sat down and taught the crowds from the boat. But first, when he was wanting in the boat, he asked him. He asked him first to put out a little way from the shore. God's asking us to be sanctified. He's asking us to draw near unto him, draw nigh unto God, and he will draw nigh unto you, the book of James tells us. He's asking us, knocking on our hearts, are we going to listen to the Word of God or something else or our own ways? Draw nigh unto God, he says. He's knocking on our heart's door. He asked him to put out a little way from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the crowds from the boat. Glory to God, what a blessing that'd be for Jesus to teach from your boat, to Jesus to teach from you, right there next to him. It's just like in our lives. It's like our lives is the boat. We get to choose if we're going to accept or reject Jesus Christ. If we're going to allow him in our boats, if we're going to allow him in our lives. But when we allow him in the boat, we got to let go of the wheel. We got to allow him to lead the way, him to show forth. He got into one of the boats that belonged to Simon, it says, and asked him to put out. Then he sat down and taught the crowds from the boat. First, he was going to teach you the word. We need to be listening to God for the word of God, first and foremost, before we get anything else, before there's all these other blessings. Let's read about the blessings of the Word of God that he tells us in the book of Galatians. And we'll be right back there. We're going to jump to Galatians for a moment. In verse 16 of chapter 5, he says, live by the Spirit, I say, and do not gratify the desires of the flesh. As the King James says, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. In verse 17, for what the flesh desires is opposed to the Spirit, and what the Spirit desires is opposed to the flesh. If we're going to let Jesus in our boat to guide us so we don't make shipwreck of our salvation, make shipwreck of the faith, we got to get out of the way and let him be leading us. How do we not walk in the flesh? It's by living in the Spirit, by walking in the Spirit. For what the flesh desires is opposed to the Spirit. These fleshly bodies are opposed to the Spirit so often. That's why this fleshly body is going to die one day and be thrown in a hole somewhere to rot away. When we're resurrected, the dead in Christ shall rise first. In the new Jerusalem, we'll have a new body. The fleshly desires passed away. He says there, what the Spirit desires is opposed to the flesh. As Paul wrote elsewhere, what he wants to do, he doesn't do. And what he doesn't do, he wants to do. So often that can be the walk of a Christian. What we want to do, we want to serve the Lord more fully. But we end up not. We're falling short of the glory of God. He wants us to get out of the way. Let us, let him be the captain of our salvation, the pilot of the boat. He says here, for these are opposed to each other to prevent you from doing what you want. You want to serve the Lord. This is what's preventing us from doing it so often. Verse 18, but if you are led by the Spirit, you are not subject to the law. Now the works of the flesh are obvious, it says. Fornication, impurity, licentiousness, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, anger, quarrels, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these. There's the works of the flesh that God tells us. If we're walking in the Spirit, these works won't be performing out of our lives. If we're letting Jesus be the captain of our salvation, if we're letting Jesus show us the way, it's going to look different. He says, I'm warning you. God's warning us, as I warned you before, those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Won't be there. They'll be in a place called hell. Lord, help us to not be in that place. Help us to walk in the Spirit. There's a lot at stake here. Verse 22, by contrast, he says, complete opposite. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience. These wonderful things. We could spend hours going through the depth of these, like love. The world uses love when they really mean lust and feelings. It'll throw you off if we follow our feelings. Joy. Temporal happiness is what people want instead of joy. But true joy comes from the Lord and by being right with Him in peace. People want to throw on things on their life instead of getting the peace of God which passeth all understanding. Patience. We got to be patient just as God is patient, forbearing towards us. Not one of the nations should perish, but all should come to Him in kindness. Generosity, this kindness of God. He's generosity. He gives us grace upon grace. We ought to be giving that upon others. Not just spiritually, but physically. With what we can give. Faithfulness to God. We can all be faithful. Gentleness, it says in verse 23. And self-control. There's no law against such things, it says. Verse 24. And those who belong to Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Why is that? Because our old lives, our old selves died on the cross of Calvary with Jesus. We were resurrected with Him, just as He was resurrected. On the third day, when we're filled with the Holy Ghost, He says here, they've crucified, it's gone. If verse 25, if we live by the Spirit, let us also be guided by the Spirit. We listen to God. We let Him guide us. Is Jesus piling into the boat? Verse 26, let us not become conceited, competing against one another. Envying one another. He says, let's not do that, but let's stay submitted to God's way. In verse 25 of Ephesians, verse 17 of Ephesians 4, now this I affirm and insist on the Lord, you must no longer live as the Gentiles live in the futility of their minds, this worthlessness of minds. Verse 18, they are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of their ignorance and hardness of heart. They have lost all sensitivity and have abandoned themselves to licentiousness, as perversion, wickedness, greedy, to patience, practice every kind of impurity. That is not the way you learn Christ. It's not how we learn Christ, because it's not biblical. 21, for surely you have heard about Him, and were taught on Him as the truth is in Jesus. You were taught to put away your former way of life, your old self, corrupted and deluded by its lust. Put away the old ways. If we're letting Jesus guide us and lead us, we're going to put it away. Verse 23, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds. God wants to change how we think. He wants to change the way our mind operates and to clothe yourselves with a new self, created according to the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. The true righteousness and holiness of God. It shows we're back in the Gospel of Luke chapter 5. What shows up in our lives, what's showing up, coming forth, the fruit that's bearing in our lives is dependent on who's guiding our lives. Who's showing us the way? Are we walking in the Spirit or are we walking in the flesh? Is Jesus guiding us or is somebody else? It's the devil. It can be you. It can be somebody. Anybody but Jesus is walking in the flesh. It says here, he got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little way from the shore. Jesus is asking us to yield to Him. He's asking us to get out of the way so we're not walking in the flesh, but that we can walk in the Spirit. He's asking us. Then He sat down and taught the crowds from the boat. Before getting in there, start teaching the crowds, He first has to get in there with our permission. Have you allowed the Lord to guide you in your life? Are you allowing Him in your life? Or are you rejecting His ways? His ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. We can trust Him. He's Almighty God. He asked Him to put out a little way from the shore. Praise God, Simon did it. He listened. He accepted Christ's invitation. Christ is wanting to be invited in our lives every day. Then He sat down and taught the crowds from the boat. And then and only then, after who's allowed in there, you know, God, He gives us the free choice, the free will choice to accept or reject Him. Every day there's teaching going around that Calvinism that God picked who's going to go to heaven, who's going to go to hell before the beginning of time. You can't do anything about it. That didn't happen. That's not in the Bible. God gives us all the choice every day to accept or to reject Him and His ways. And Lord, help us to walk in the Spirit and accept His gift of salvation, His gift of sanctification, and His gift of Christian perfection. And later on down the road, when we can see him face to face, Lord, help us. He says here, he sat down and taught the crowds from the boat. Jesus wants to use us to go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. He wants to teach others through us. We all have a task in the kingdom of God. It's not just for some. We have different callings. Some have the call to preach. Some have the call to evangelism. Some have the call to get up and sing. Some have the call to teach. Everybody's got different callings of God, and the gifts and callings of God are without repentance, the Bible tells us. God's not going to jerk it away. This is the calling he's given you, so you should follow through with it and listen to him, but you have to be yielding to him beforehand. You have to invite him in. When he's asking, you have to accept and allow him in, just as Peter allowed him in the boat. Then, and only then, was he going to teach from Peter's boat. He says here, when he had finished speaking, he sat down and taught the crowds from the boat. And when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, put out into the deep water. Notice here, it wasn't all about Simon at first. He was going to teach the crowds the word of God, knowing that one of these days so many in that crowd would turn around and reject him. But he went ahead and taught them anyways. Out of love, it was their choice. We should show God's love around us. And when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, put out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch. After that, he was seeking to bless Peter with this. So he turned around and told him, put out your deep water and let down your nets for a catch. In verse 5 of chapter 5 of Luke, he said, Simon answered, Master. He recognized who was the master and who wasn't. Who was the Lord and who wasn't. It wasn't Simon, even though it was Simon's boat. It all belongs to God. He was the master. Just as Jesus calmed the sea, he'll calm the seas in our lives every day. Master, he says, we have worked all night long. That's a long time to be out there fishing on that lake. He worked all night long, but have caught nothing. They did it their way all night long. Caught nothing. What did he do when they found him? He found them there washing off their nets. They'd give up. It wasn't working for them going on their own way. It never works in our lives when we do things our way instead of God's way. You can work all night long in your ways, for years in your own ways, but it'll never work. It'll never bring forth the fruits of the Holy Ghost. It'll never bring forth the blessings that God has for you. It'll never bring forth the peace that passeth all understanding that God wants for our lives. Peter tells us to live our lives down here below at peace with God. It's our sojourning down here below at peace with God. You can only get the peace that passeth all understanding, not from the world. If we look around here at the world, we'll be distressed. That's no secret. It's pretty obvious when we look around the distresses of this time. Not just this time, of all time. This world's a fallen world that Jesus is here to redeem. If you look at ourselves, you'll just be depressed. Because what can I do to help myself get to heaven? Nothing. Not a thing. It's only by God's grace that we go to heaven. What can I do to live a holy life? Nothing on my own. Only by God's grace and the blood of the Lamb can we live a holy life. Can we have this peace? It's only when we look to Jesus can we have the peace. When he said, peace be still, elsewhere when they were on a lake again, the storm was calmed. And he kept his eyes on Jesus and he got out there and walked on that water. Another time when they're on the lake, when he took his eyes off Jesus, what did he do? Well, Peter sunk. He met with Jesus many times on the lakes. When we take our eyes off of him, we sink in the miry sin of the world and perdition, when we should be looking to Jesus and staying above the water, above the storm, by his grace. It says here, Master, we have worked all night long, but have caught nothing. Doing it their way? Not a doggone thing. They didn't catch a thing. But notice here, what did Peter say at the latter part of that verse? Yet, if you say so, I will let down the nets. Yet if you say so. Lord, it doesn't make sense to me, but if you say so, I'll do it. Lord, we tried this thing already, but if you say so, I will let down the nets. If you say so, I'll do it. He listened to what God had to say instead of what he was having to say, instead of his ways, instead of being focused on himself and Peter's ways, it shifted to what God said, what Jesus said, what the Master said. In our lives, we need to be focusing on what Jesus said about us. This world will tell you that you ain't no count, that you're not loved, that there's no good for you. But God says, I've loved you with an everlasting love in Jeremiah. He tells us that before you were in the belly of the womb, I knew you. God tells us that he loves you. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. That's how much God loves us. That whoever believeth in him should not perish, but shall have everlasting life. God loves us. The world will tell you elsewhere. The devil, he'll sure tell you elsewhere. He told Jesus that I'll give you all the things, everything you see. The devil couldn't give him that. What, it didn't belong to him. He don't have a kingdom. This is God's kingdom. This is God's world. Don't listen to the devil. He can't give you nothing. He only takes away. Listen to the master when he says, yet if you say so, I will let down the nets. Lord, if that's what you got to say, I'll do it. We need to be submissive to our lives, to God. If you say so, Lord, he does say so in the word of God. We have so many promises. Genesis 1 to Revelation 22, the promises of God, the correction of God, the word of God, sharpening a two-edged sword. Sanctify them by thy truth. Thy word is truth, the Bible tells us. Yet if you say so, listen to the word, God says. In verse 6, when they had done this, they caught so many fish that their nets were beginning to break. Praise God, when they listened to what Jesus said, even though they'd tried it before, even though it didn't work out their way, when they did it God's way, look at the blessing they received. Look deeper at this, not just we're going to catch a bunch of fish if we listen to Jesus, or we're going to get a lot of money if we listen to Jesus. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying the spiritual blessings, the peace, the joy, the love. Let's read them again that we just read. The fruits of the Holy Spirit, let's listen to them again. By contrast, the fruits of the Spirit is to be our catch. This is what God's going to send our way if we're trusting in Him, if we're walking in the Spirit, not the flesh. By contrast, the fruit of the Spirit is love. You'll get love. You'll be love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, he says, and self-control. If we live in the Spirit, let us not become conceited, envying one another. That's what God gives us. That's the gifts of the Holy Spirit. It's called the fruit of the Holy Spirit for a reason. People's all the time, when we talk about, if you read back there in Mark, in the lectionary reading today, he said that Jesus will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. He will baptize us with the Holy Spirit. When we put our faith in Him, when we're trusting in Him, when we're walking with Him, He'll fill us with the Holy Ghost. The Bible says, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Holy Ghost. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. My cup runneth over, the psalm says. We need to be running over with the Holy Spirit. We only do that when we trust in Him, when we listen to what God has to say. When we follow Him, instead of following the ways of the world, instead of following our own ways. Peter here, when he listened to Jesus about the fish, he was overwhelmed with fish. When we listen to Jesus about spiritual things, how much more will God give us the spiritual gifts of the Holy Ghost? It's not just for one people. We have different callings and different gifts, but the fruits of the Holy Spirit, that's for everybody. That's for all people. What do Corinthians tell us when they're talking about speaking in tongues, the gifts of tongues and the gifts of prophecy? What's he say? He says the greatest of all gifts is the gift of love. That's the one. We're full of the Holy Ghost. We're going to be full of love, the love of God. So rich and pure, so measureless and strong, as that old hymn tells us. If we're right in the love of God, as that hymn says, if everybody was a scribe by trade and the sky was a parchment and the ocean was ink, it'd drain the ocean before we could write it all. I love that hymn, the love of God, that old church hymnal. That last verse, if you got one of those, go home and read it, was written by somebody they thought was demon-possessed in an asylum. After he died, they walked in there and read that last verse about the love of God, how if we were writing it, it'd drain the ocean if the ocean was ink. It'd fill the sky if the sky was parchment. If we're all scribed by trade, it would drain it all dry. It wouldn't be enough. It's how much God's love is. His love for me, love for you, and we can have this gift of love when we're walking in the Spirit, when we listen to what God has to say. He says there they had done this. They caught so many fish that their nets were beginning to break. Verse 7, so they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. When we're walking in the Lord, when we're walking in the Spirit, listen to what God has to say. Being filled with the Holy Ghost is going to involve others around us. As John Wesley said, I know no holiness but social holiness. You can't go be a hermit on your own and completely live for the Lord. When we're living for the Lord, when we're walking for Him, the love of God will overflow. My cup overfloweth. It'll overflow on those around us, those we can speak to, those we can call on the phone and talk to, those we can show God's love to everywhere we go, all around us, our family, our friends, and strangers. It overflows to us, just as the blessing will overflow into these folks. They had done this. They caught so many fish that their nets were beginning to break. They couldn't hold it in. That's good. We shouldn't be holding in the blessings of God. We should be generous and showing forth God's love to us all around us and the joy and peace. Just as the moon reflects the sun's light, we ought to be reflecting God's light. I was going at work the other day, and it was at sunrise. We were driving down the road, and I saw how beautiful that sun was and how the sky just reflected that. It was absolutely gorgeous what God had made. Got to thinking, wouldn't it be great? We need to be living for God so we can shine like that. The Bible says the righteous will shine like the sun. How are we righteous? Not our own ways, but on God's ways. Well, I want to shine for Jesus like that sun was shining. Help us to do that, Lord. He says here, they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so that they began to sink. Glory to God, they even began to sink. Well, I'll be sinking around with the gifts of the Holy Ghost by living for the Lord, by trusting in Him. It's by faith we're saved, by God's grace alone, through faith alone. It's by faith, working in love. It's how we're sanctified. When we have faith, it's going to show forth in action if you truly trust Him. They began to sink. Verse 8, but when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, oh, he's overwhelmed with the blessings. For he says here, go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man. He recognized he was a sinner. We all are sinful people. Without Jesus, we're nothing. But with Him, we are children of God, born again. John chapter 3 in the Gospel of John says, except a person is born again, they shall not see God. Water and spirit, born again. It's a spiritual change. Born again in the family of God. He said, go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man. Sometimes we feel unworthy. It's because we are unworthy on our own. But by Jesus, we are made right with God. By Jesus, we put on the righteousness of God. The Bible commands us, put on the Lord Jesus Christ. In verse 9, for he and all were amazed. For he and all who were with him were amazed at the catch of fish they had taken. They were amazed at what took place when Jesus was there. It's an amazing thing what happens in our lives when we submit to the Lord. The wonderful blessings, spiritual blessings He gives us. Verse 10. And so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. Now notice here what this glorious verse says. Then Jesus said to Simon, after he said, go away from me, Lord, for I'm a sinful man. Jesus said to Simon, do not be afraid. Peace be still in his life. Do not be afraid, he says. From now on, you'll be catching people. As the old way says, I'll make you a fisher of men. He'll be catching people. He'll be doing the work of the Lord. Do not be afraid. Don't be afraid that you're a sinful man, but come to God for His mercy and His grace by listening to Him, by yielding to Him, by putting your faith in Jesus Christ. He said, do not be afraid. What did He say when that woman was caught in adultery? After they all turned away because Jesus showed them forth that they were all sinners. He said, where are the ones that are there to condemn you in John? I believe it's 8. She said, no one's here, Lord. Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Jesus Christ came in the world to save sinners, the Bible tells us. Paul said, of which I am chief. He recognized it. God used him to write so much of the New Testament, but he knew what he was without God. Nothing. But with him, we are His children. Do not be afraid. He's telling you. He's telling me. Don't be afraid around us. Don't be afraid because He gives us the peace that passeth all understanding. He gives us the peace of God. The Bible says, let the peace of God rule in your hearts. He says, let it. You got to be yielding to God. Peter wouldn't have had no peace if they stayed at the shore and Jesus said, I need to use your boat. And he said, take a hike and went on his own way. He'd be fishless. He'd be blessingless. And he wouldn't have no peace. But he allowed Jesus to come in his life. He allowed Jesus. He yielded to him. He opened up his life to him. And then he had the peace. Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching people. Not only was he at peace, do not be afraid, but also he had a task to do. We're saved for a purpose. We're not saved to sit on the bench and wait for Glory Land to show up in our lap. We're to build God's kingdom down here below. What does he tell? The Great Commission's for me and you as well. Make disciples of all nations. Go, he says, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Go, he says, go to those around us. Show God's love. Don't be afraid. He will give us power from on high. It's expedient that I should go, Jesus said, and rise again, so that the Holy Ghost, the Comforter, can come, and he abides in you, and he abides with me. We're filled with the Holy Ghost when we trust in him. He says here, you will be catching people for the Lord, bringing them in, drawing them in. We'll be drawing them in to God's kingdom. There's revivals going around the world. In China, there's a wonderful revival. They've actually sent some missionaries to California in some of their churches they're starting. What a glorious thing. There's revivals going on in the Middle East amidst persecution. God's not done. We can blame the lack of people coming to the Lord sometimes. It's always just the end times. It just won't happen. That's not biblical. The Bible says to go. He says, do not be afraid. God is faithful today, tomorrow, and forever. There's a great falling away. The Bible speaks about the end of days. But there's also the latter rain of the Spirit of God. We can trust Him. We can believe Him. But do we? Have you invited Him into your life every day? Or is there a corner that He's not allowed in? Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching people. Is there a corner in your life that you're not yielding to God? Open up to Him. Just as Peter said. Peter invited him in, and Jesus said, I want to teach you out of the boat. And he said, no, you can fish for me, but you can't teach. It wouldn't have worked out so well. His whole boat needed to be yielded to God for God's purpose. Our whole body, our whole lives need to be yielded to God for His purpose. Now notice here this last verse. And what a wonderful thing it is. An example. Verse 11 of Luke 5. When they had brought their boats to shore, they left everything and followed Him. When they brought their boats to shore, when they got done doing what they're doing there, they left everything and followed Him. Left it all. Gave it all up. It's an amazing thing when we think about it. At this point in their life, they gave up their profession. They walked away. Followed the Lord. They left everything and followed Him. Are we going to leave everything and follow Him? We're going to leave everything as if it's not as important as Jesus Christ. We have jobs to do down here below. We have families to provide for, but we got to be willing to do everything for the Lord. The Lord says, do all things for the glory of the one who made us. That's Jesus. Do everything for Him. If it can't be done for Him, we ought not to be doing it. When they had brought their boats to shore, they left everything, left it all behind, and followed Him. Jesus said, unless we're willing to take up our cross and follow Him, you have no part with me. When they knew what that meant back then, we don't seek people crucified. Glory to God, what a horrible way to die. But back in them days, when they saw someone carrying their cross up to the hill, they were done for. Dead man walking. Over. They didn't have any hope to, I'll meet you at supper time, we're going to get a little more done. No, it was done for. When you took your cross up that hill, you were as dead. The Roman centurions that was guarding those crucifixion victims, if they didn't make sure those people was dead, then they would be killed by the legion. You were going to die when you took up your cross. Jesus is telling us it's the same way. We need to die to ourselves. Our ways need to be dead. Graveyard dead. Crucified with Christ, the old ways, as we just read. Risen to walk with Him. They left everything and followed Him. We need to take up our cross and follow Him every day. Are we going to be able to yield to the Holy Ghost? Are we going to be yielding to what God's telling us today? Let's all bow our heads. It's a choice. It's a choice every day. It's not a choice that's made once, but it's a choice we choose every day of our lives. Take a moment and talk to Heavenly Father. Reflect on it. Have you yielded your whole life for His purpose? Or are you holding something back? Pray to Him. Search us, O God, and know our hearts. Try us and know our thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in us, and lead us in Thy way everlasting, to the glory of Thy name. Father, we thank You, Lord, that You are asking to come in each and every one of our lives every moment. That, Lord, Your gifts and calling are without repentance. That You're calling on us all. That You're knocking on all our hearts' door, Lord. Help us all to open our whole lives to be used by You for Your glory and to the glory of thy name. Bless all of these wonderful people gathered here together, Lord. And all of us inside, Lord, bless all those outside. And bless those that could not be here, Lord, for you know each reason. And may you send your healing touch upon them. Fill us with your Holy Ghost, Lord. Help us not to hold back anything, but Lord, you can take us, use us. We're wholly thine, Lord. Our heart, mind, soul, and strength is yours. Through Christ our Lord we pray. Amen. Amen. If you'll stand with me. Amen. Let's go in peace to love and serve the Lord with the hope of our salvation. God bless you all in Jesus' name. Amen.